south of Baton Rouge, along the 8 Meat River, near the old Phillips farm. There's no brick and mortar, just a boiling cauldron of human disorder. Tammy's Cafe, serving it up grits and a side of murder.
Welcome, y'all.
Hey, Kirsten.
Hey.
Didn't do the granny.
No granny.
Not up for the granny.
Not a granny day. That's how they know I'm on the podcast. As soon as they hear it, they're like, oh, all right.
I'm a little tired today because I got these CBD gummies for sleepy time. And the first couple of days, I was like, these didn't work. But now I feel like I'm sleepy all the time. So I'm not really sure if it was a good idea.
You're like a mellow.
I'm super mellow.
Yeah, that's good, though.
But I'm just used
to... You don't want to be too mellow.
I don't want to be too mellow. I didn't even put makeup on.
Well, catch up on your sleep.
Sorry, it was a nap.
Get all your sleep caught up and then decide if you're too mellow.
Yeah. That's what I'll do. That sounds good. Gnats. You said there was one on my drink. So earlier I went outside and Harold goes, there are gnats everywhere outside. He's been fogging and spraying and trying to get rid of them. Damn. So I'll probably be doing this a lot today during the...
Why?
He doesn't know. I don't know either.
It's weird.
We've never had gnats.
So we need to be happy that we only have a few in here and not everywhere.
They were literally like flying into my eyeballs outside. Just But I think he's got them under control now.
Good. Fogged them up.
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking Swear Jar. And water.
And water. Okay.
That's why it looks a little...
A little fun.
Yeah, a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
Dark on the top, clear on the bottom.
Yep.
So we got... When we went to Sugarfield for the meet and greet, we got some of their purple vodka.
Did you?
And we've been making Moscow Mules.
Yum.
In these cups with the purple vodka on top. Yeah, yeah. It's cool. And Ashley's here, camera switching for us. Thank you for being here. All right, are you, do you have anything new you want to talk about?
Nothing new.
Okay. We're going to go to 2006 for this story.
Okay.
So, you know, as usual, I'm going to tell you some things going on in 2006.
No math. Do not let me do no math on this podcast.
Why did you do math before?
The last.
When you were trying to, I remember listening to one recently with us.
And I was like, what the hell?
You had the ages backwards.
I can't do math anymore.
Okay. I don't think.
No, it's going to be me asking some stupid-ass questions, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, these things that happened in 2006 don't involve math.
Perfect.
So we're good
Love
there.
Love it.
M&M's created an ad campaign offering 2 million dark chocolate M&M's for the one who returns The Scream, which is a painting that was stolen in 2004 in Norway.
Damn.
Okay. So that's 2 years later. We're offering these M&M's.
Just M&M's?
Dark chocolate M&M's. 2 million of them.
To bring my painting back.
Bring the painting back. But just days after M&M's started the campaign, the painting was found by the Norwegian police.
Oh, God. So, nobody got the M&M's.
No. Okay. Bambi and Bambi 2 hold the record for the longest gap in between movie sequels.
Yeah, it was a long, long one.
The first being released in 1942, the second being released 64 years later in 2006.
First Bambi was better.
I did not watch Bambi 2, I don't think.
Wow.
Western Union sent their last telegram in 2006.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
That was an interesting sound.
Yep. Boom.
Okay. All right. We are going to Sunday, September 24th, 2006.
All right.
Pocatello, Idaho.
Okay.
Police received a 911 call to go to a home on Whispering Cliffs.
Whispering.
It was a horrific crime scene. There was a 16-year-old girl lying dead on the floor with a missing finger.
Oh, God.
Blood everywhere. The first officer that was on the scene secured the house and called for backup.
Okay.
The victim was Cassie Jo Stoddart. Stoddart, I think is the right pronunciation. She was a junior at the Pocatello High School.
Young.
Yes.
Damn it.
So let's rewind a couple of days to that Friday before they found her. Friday, September 22nd, Cassie had gone to a relative's house to house and pet sit while they were out of town. So we're just going to call. I don't know anything about the relatives.
Okay.
They declined to participate in the documentary that I watched, so I don't know if it was her aunt or uncle.
It really was, yeah.
We're just going to call the house the Whispering Cliffs house, because that was the name of the street it was on.
Okay.
So she went over there to house sit. When the family came home on Sunday, that's when they found her.
I was going to ask you that. Who called?
Yeah. When they found her, they called the police. They called Cassie's parents. They arrived at the crime scene. Cassie's mom, Anna, couldn't believe her daughter had been murdered.
Right.
She had no idea who would want Cassie dead.
Right.
Monday morning, which is the day after she was found, the news of Cassie's murder spread swiftly through Pocatello High School.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, in a second.
Teachers and students were shocked. Cassie was a great student. She was very responsible. She was just all around good person.
A well-liked.
Yeah, she was. Girl. So many rumors started flying around the school and the small town of Pocatello.
Of course they did.
So, I mean, just high school.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, it takes one person to say the wrong thing and then it just spirals out of control.
Yes. Cassie had been stabbed several times. She put up an extreme fight against
Good
the killer.
Her.
They didn't find any murder weapon at the scene. There was no indication of forced entry. Mm-hmm. Nothing was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, everyone, including the police, thought that somebody outside of the town did this, like a stranger.
Like they were preying on her?
They just thought this couldn't be...
Somebody who knows her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This couldn't happen in our small town.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
They always think that.
Yeah, they do, until it happens.
Yes.
So the police go back and trace Cassie's movements and the people that she was last interacting with.
Okay.
Oh, my nose itches. I wonder if a gnat flew up my nose.
Oh, God.
So, back to Friday, September 22nd, 8 a.m., Pocatello High School. Cassie's mom, Anna, dropped Cassie off at school. Her mom even remembers what she was wearing that
day.
Homecoming was right around the corner, and the school, everybody at school was excited. Yep. 8:30, Cassie was at her locker, and a classmate got her on video.
Okay.
Her day of classes for that day was geometry, Spanish, and English, and English was her last class of the day. Her friend Justin remembers that she was in English class, and after
she was there the whole day.
After they left class, Justin went one way down the hall, Cassie went the other way down the hall,
right.
And that was around 3:30.
Okay.
3:45, Anna picked Cassie up, that's her mom, Anna, and her boyfriend, Matt Beckham.
Okay.
Around 5:30, Anna dropped Cassie and Matt off at Whispering Cliffs.
Okay.
For the house and pet sitting to begin.
Together?
Together.
Mm.
I know, I kind of felt some kind of a way about that. But right after that, Cassie was a very responsible girl and her mom trusted her, okay? And Anna even called her that evening to check on her and she's like, everything's fine, you know, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Good.
So, around 11:15 p.m., Matt left the house.
Okay.
And Cassie was alone at that point.
Okay.
So, as of this moment, he's the last person that's seen her. So, after Cassie's body was found, the police and the CSI techs searched the house looking for clues and evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured out, and don't ask me how, that around 10 p.m., the electricity blinked.
What?
It went all
That's
on
like
and off.
Super sketchy.
Yeah, it is.
It's like your immediate thought where you're like, all right, somebody just did that and we need to fucking hide.
Yes.
So sketchy.
Well, they looked at the fuse box and they did. It did look like somebody had been in the fuse box. Maybe it was left open.
Yeah.
I don't know. They dusted the fuse box for prints.
I feel like mine's open right now.
Mine is not. I know that
for a
fact.
I should probably close it. Just in case.
Don't make it any easier for them to get in there and turn the lights off.
Literally.
So they got fingerprints off the fuse box.
Okay.
The fingerprints matched Cassie's mom's boyfriend.
Oh, shit.
Victor. So police.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Police brought Anna's boyfriend, Victor, in for questioning. Victor tells police that he had done some work at the house and he had been in the fuse box. And
I bet he did.
That's why his prints were on everything. Well, he had an alibi.
They must have been close. This must have been like the sister or something to where it's like,
yeah, the family.
Hey, run over. Like,
hey, Victor, can you come check out?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Maybe Victor's an electrician or whatever.
I was just about to say, is he an electrician?
Don't know.
It's just odd.
Mm-hmm. But he does have an alibi for Friday evening.
Good.
He was at a neighbor's house playing video games for a while. And then after that, he was with Anna, Cassie's mom. And the alibi checked out.
Okay.
So who do we go to next?
The boyfriend.
Yes. Matt Beckham.
Okay.
Matt was, just like Cassie, he was 16 years old.
Good God, that's young to stay at the house by themselves.
You mean without adult supervision?
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't. Anyway, I'm not trying to shame anybody here.
No shame.
The police went to Matt's house, and the first thing they did was tell Matt that his girlfriend had been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have much of a reaction.
This was Monday they talked to him?
I don't know what day.
Okay.
I'm assuming it was Monday or close to Monday.
Right.
Because they, you know, found her on Sunday.
Right.
So he didn't have a reaction to there's no sobbing and carrying
nothing.
On. Nothing.
Hmm.
So that raised a red flag.
That's very weird.
Yes. So police asked for Matt to go through the details of his last day with Cassie.
Okay.
He says around 5:30 p.m., Anna dropped him and Cassie off at Whispering Cliffs. Okay.
Valid.
They watched movies and they ate some food. He said around 10 p.m., the electricity went off.
Okay.
And it scared both of them.
Yeah.
Like, it freaked them out. A few minutes later, it came back on.
Hmm.
Matt originally intended to stay the whole night.
I was going to say, why didn't he stay?
Well, and so here's what happened. Around 11, Matt's mom called and said she was coming to get him.
Gotcha.
Don't know what was going on. Like, maybe she did. I thought you were at Billy's house,
yeah,
you know.
Literally, like 16 years old.
But he was like, I don't really want to come home. I don't want to leave Cassie here by herself. Would it be okay if Cassie, you know, came home with us?
Right.
Because he really was worried for her safety. And Cassie was like, no, I made a commitment to pet sit and house sit. And, you know, I have to keep that commitment.
Yeah.
So at around 11:15, Matt's parents arrived, pick him up, and he left. And that was the last time he saw Cassie.
Okay.
Cassie Joe. 12:30 a.m. Matt's worried about Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
He called. No answer.
Hmm.
He called several times. Cassie never answered.
Damn.
So he's telling all this to police, and his story sounds good, but they're still kind of concerned about the fact that he had no emotion.
No reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. Again, rumors fly around the school that Matt had something to do with the murder since he seemed unfazed by her death.
Yeah.
And Cassie's friend Justin, who has her English class with her, he even thought Matt was involved.
Ooh.
So
they must have had something.
Something weird.
Yeah.
Detectives decided to give Matt a polygraph.
Okay.
Passed with flying colors.
Hmm.
When the polygraph was over, Matt happened to mention that two friends, Tori and Brian, had stopped by the house on Whispering Cliffs.
After.
That
you're,
Friday.
You're mentioning this.
Yeah.
After.
Yeah. He hadn't said anything about them before.
Right. That's weird.
He just happened to mention when the polygraph was over that Tori and Brian had come by.
I wonder if he just was trying to stay, like, monotone so that when he takes the test, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess.
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch. Mwah.
They say you can't fake it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about these two boys.
Okay.
And obviously, police want to talk to them.
Of course.
Tori Adamczyk and Brian Draper.
Okay.
They also went to Pocatello High School. They were also 16 years old.
Okay.
The boys said that they went to the house around 8:20 to hang out with Matt and Cassie.
Okay.
They watched a movie, ate some snacks, wandered around the house. They left around 9:30.
All right.
So she's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
From there, they said they went to the movies in Pocatello. The problem was, when the police are talking to them, neither boy can remember what movie they went to see.
Oh, shit.
You done fucked up.
Yeah. What movie? Oh, well.
How you don't know what movie you just saw? The police went to the movie theater and no one had seen Tori and Brian that Friday night.
Shit.
In fact, a classmate of theirs worked at the movie theater.
Okay.
And she said they positively were not there Friday night. So why are they lying?
Mm.
Okay. So after that initial time that police talked to Tori and Brian, when they go back to talk to him again, Tori's like, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer cooperating with the police. Brian, on the other hand, was ready to talk to the police. He went through another round of questioning, and police start off by telling Brian, hey, we know y'all didn't go to the movies.
Just spill it.
He's like, tell us what really happened, mm-hmm. what's going on. Brian kind of stumbles over his words, and he finally admits they were driving around going through unlocked cars. To see if they could find things to
lift and handle.
Still. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
That was the common thing to do in that time.
Yeah, not bust the windows.
Nope. You just lift handles.
Brian said that that's all they did. Mm-hmm. They had nothing to do with Cassie's murder.
Hmm.
Brian agreed to take a polygraph the next day.
Okay.
When Brian shows up for the polygraph, the polygrapher calls the police captain and says Brian is very upset and needs to talk to the detectives.
Hmm.
Also, when he showed up for his polygraph, he brought his mom and dad with him.
Damn it.
So the detectives come over there. He doesn't take the polygraph.
Okay.
They get Brian, dad, and mom in an interrogation room.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian starts telling a story straight out of hell.
Mm.
After leaving the Whispering Cliffs house, mm-hmm. Tori and Brian snuck back to the house and went in through the basement door. Which, by the way, remember when they were touring the house earlier in the evening?
They scoped it out.
They unlocked mm-hmm. the basement door because they knew they were coming back.
Yep.
Their intention was to prank Cassie to scare her,
mm-hmm.
but things went off the rails. They put on scary masks, like horror masks. They crept up the basement stairs,
mm-hmm.
and Cassie heard something, and she's like, who's there?
Oh, God.
And Brian said, I was about to speak up and tell her, you know, it's just us playing a joke. Yeah. And that's when he realized Tori was stabbing Cassie, saying, I have to kill her. I have to kill her.
What?
Yeah. And Brian was freaking out.
Well, yeah.
And the next thing you know, Cassie's dead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Brian said they went back down into the basement and left the way that they came in. Brian said he didn't touch Cassie. He swore that that's how everything happened.
Right.
Tori was the one who took the prank too far and killed Cassie. So,
but where's the finger?
You know what? The finger never comes up again.
Really?
Never comes up again.
Damn. Yeah.
So police want to get Tori talking. Remember, he's already said, no, I'm not talking to y'all. No longer cooperating.
Yeah. He's like, I ain't playing that shit.
So they get him into interrogation.
Okay.
And they tell Tori, we know how everything went down. Tell us what happened.
Go ahead and just spill it out.
He starts off with the whole, we were driving around lifting handles.
That must have been their understanding of what was going
to
be.
Well, then why the fuck would you say you went to the movies? Well, I guess you didn't want to give yourself up for stealing shit out of the car.
Oh,
yeah. And the police are like, we don't believe that that's what y'all were doing. They pressured Tori some more, and he asked for an attorney.
Okay.
That's pretty smart for 16 years old.
Yeah, for 16.
And that was the end of the interrogation.
Damn.
Once you ask for an attorney, that's it.
They can't.
But they did hold both boys and charge them with first-degree murder.
Jesus. Because they had a confession from one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Police still didn't think they were getting all the story.
Mm-hmm.
They go back to Brian. Upon pressuring him, he told police that there were murder weapons and clothing that he and Tori had buried, and he could take them to where evidence was. They went to the location and started digging in the Black Rock Canyon area, like just a remote.
That's a lot of effort to.
On whose part?
For them to, go bury all that shit.
Yeah. He showed them the exact spot and they hit the mother lode.
Damn.
They found horror masks, clothes, weapons, and a videotape.
Oh my God.
The boys had tried to burn all the evidence before burying it, so the police weren't sure if they were going to be able to get anything off the videotape. Brian hadn't mentioned anything about a videotape. And it was burned pretty badly.
I guarantee you he's sitting there thinking, we destroyed that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. So they sent the tape off to the lab, and the lab was able to reconstruct the tape.
Holy shit.
The lab called and said, we have the tape ready. Are y'all ready to watch it?
Oh, my God.
Detectives were worried that they were going to see the actual murder on video, which, thank God, that was not on video.
Good.
The first thing they see is a video of Cassie at her school locker at 8:30 Friday morning. Remember I told you one of her friends caught her on video?
Yeah.
It was these jokers.
Okay.
Friday, September 22nd. Brian was talking to Cassie and filming her at her locker. The next video is a little bit after noon. The boys skipped class, went to the library, and filmed themselves planning the murder.
Oh my God.
I should say murders, though, because they were actually making a list of people that they wanted to kill.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they were giddy. They were like, so excited.
So excited about, to do this.
Yeah. And
holy shit.
They knew Cassie was going to be like the first one because of the situation of her being, you know, alone, house sitting.
Yeah.
And in this video, they apologized to her family before it even happened. I'm sorry to Cassie's family, but, you know.
Sorry, we had to do it.
We had to.
The fuck?
Yeah. So around 8:20, Brian, this is on the video. Well, let me see. No. Around 8:20, Brian and Tori go over to the house and they watch a movie and had some food. So that part of the story that Brian already told them was true. They went over there. Brian snuck downstairs, unlocked the basement door so he and Tori could get in later.
Did they video at that point?
That wasn't on video.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make a timeline.
Yeah.
Around 9:30, Brian and Tori left the house. They went to their car. And around 9:50, they recorded another video.
Okay.
They were sitting in the car, waiting to put the plan in action. And one of them said, it was dark. I couldn't tell who was talking.
Right.
Unfortunately, we have the grueling task of killing our two friends. So they were planning on killing Matt.
Matt, too.
Yes.
Holy shit.
They went on to say they had just been in the house hanging out with him in this video.
They didn't know Matt wasn't going to be there.
Right. You can hear one of the boys on the tape saying, we want to be just like the movie Scream.
What?
We are six psychopaths that want to have the pleasure of killing other people. Yeah.
Wow.
So, okay, Matt's still there.
Right.
10 p.m., the boys snuck into the house through the basement door.
Right.
And they had with them hunting knives, gloves, the masks, all the stuff.
They were ready.
They opened the fuse box and turned the lights off. Remember, they said around 10, the lights went off.
Right.
This was them.
Okay.
It was Brian and Tori.
Wonder why their fingerprints weren't on there.
They had gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
And what they said was that they were trying to scare Cassie and Matt, and they wanted to get them to come downstairs.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But Cassie and Matt didn't come down the stairs.
Right.
And they were scared.
I wouldn't have gone down the stairs either.
Apparently, the dogs were at the top of the basement stairs growling.
Oh, God.
So they were like, fuck,
I would have been scared shitless.
Yeah.
You got my dog growling. Mm-mm. We hiding.
So I don't know why. Okay. I don't know if the boys left or they stayed in the basement. But remember, that started at 10.
Right.
11:15, Matt's parents came and picked him up. 11:20, Tori cut the power again. And they went up the basement stairs.
They must have left and come back.
Either that or they just hung out in the basement that whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know. So this is the part where earlier Brian had said they went up the basement stairs and then he was freaking out because Tori was stabbing her.
Right.
Well, here's what really happened.
But so his whole story of we were just trying to scare him was bullshit from the jump.
I agree. Yeah. So, like I said, 11:20, Tori cut the power. They went up the basement stairs. Mm-hmm. They jumped out and scared Cassie, then stabbed her.
Oh, my God.
And the police firmly believe if Matt would have been there, he would have been killed,
dead too. Yeah.
Because he didn't want to leave Cassie there.
Right.
11:30 p.m.
I bet he felt so guilty because he could have taken her with her.
Yeah. But she wouldn't go.
Right.
So, 11:30 p.m., Brian and Tori go back to the car. Mm-hmm. So, they weren't there. I mean, at 11:20, they cut the power. Minutes. By 11:30, they were going back to the car. Yeah. And in the car, they record one final video. Mm-hmm. This is in that chain of videos. Right. We just killed Cassie. We just left the house. This is not a fucking joke. We got to get our act straight.
What the fuck?
That's all on video. But y'all didn't get your act straight. You said y'all you went to the movies.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So imagine 1:30 a.m. So they're driving around for 2 hours.
Right.
Or whatever they're doing for 2 hours. They stopped at a convenience store and bought matches. Drove to Black Rock Canyon. And
who the fuck buys matches?
I don't know.
Y'all are a bunch of fucking idiots.
Why not a lighter?
Right. Get a lighter.
Get one of those barbecue lighters.
Get some lighter fluid or something.
Okay. Well, they drove out to Black Rock Canyon to burn the evidence.
Right.
And think about this. The police might not have ever known that Tori and Brian was at the house if Matt wouldn't have actually
said anything.
Mentioned it.
Yeah.
And if he would have been killed, they might not have ever found out.
Right.
Because he was the one that just kind of casually mentioned that they were at the house. All right. These two boys were tried as adults.
Good.
Tried separately.
Good.
During their own trial, they blamed the other one.
I bet they did.
And you remember I told you they were making a list, a kill list? Mm-hmm. It had 12 names on it. The ultimate goal for them was a Columbine situation.
What the fuck?
They were going to go shoot a bunch of kids at the school.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. In 2007, both were found guilty of first-degree murder. Both got life without parole.
With them saying, you got to get your act straight, they were probably intending to send that out to the school prior to the shooting. Like, we're not fucking around.
Wow. You think?
That's what it seems like to me.
Wow. These two guys are housed in the same prison.
Are they?
They don't talk to each other at all.
Right.
So, that's typically where I would end the story. Mm-hmm. But in this particular documentary that I was watching, do you know who Keith Morrison is? I love Keith Morrison. Mm-mm. He's like on Dateline.
Ah, yeah.
He's got like gray hair and his voice. He's always like.
Uh-huh. I know. I can picture him.
I can't do his. Mm-mm. It was a quiet community. Yeah. Or was it?
Yes.
So 15 years after the murder, it's 2022. Brian agreed to talk to Keith Morrison about the situation.
He's been a chatterbox from the beginning anyway.
Yeah, Brian Draper talked to him over the phone, and Keith Morrison was like, why?
Right.
And Brian says everyone asks why. And he said he felt like a nobody. He felt like he could be somebody if he did something big and bad.
What?
He said in middle school is when he started feeling like a loser.
That's typical.
He would go online to chat rooms and talk to people who were interested in the Columbine.
Wow.
Shooting.
That they had a whole chat room about that.
Yeah, probably more than one.
That's wild.
Yeah. And during the actual committing of the murder, Brian said he felt like he was like in a movie when it was happening.
I bet.
Yeah. He went on and on with Keith Morrison. I'm not like, I wrote, honestly, I don't care how he feels. That doesn't give him the right to kill somebody.
Yeah.
He did try to advise kids who were thinking the same kind of thoughts he had was don't do it and get some help.
Right.
You know,
yada yada.
Yeah.
Thanks for the advice, buddy.
I mean, I'm glad he gave advice, but nobody's going to listen to you.
Because you are more of a loser now than you were in middle school.
And he says that when he and Tori kind of come across each other in the prison, it's just like they're strangers. They don't even communicate with each other at all. But one sad thing, April 2022, mm-hmm. Cassie's mom, Anna, mm-hmm. she was 57. She died of cancer.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, she had a lot of suffering in her life. Jeez.
Yeah.
The case of Cassie Jo Stoddart.
Damn.
I watched Dateline the last day, season 1, episode 6.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I have a picture of Tori and Brian and Cassie. She's so pretty.
Yeah. Who is who?
I don't know. I think the first one is Tori and the second one is Brian.
Okay. Yeah, she is beautiful.
Yeah. And nice and smart and responsible.
And responsible.
Yeah. I mean, I can't... I don't know. Her family probably feels... The family that lived in the house.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Nope.
Okay.
I'd be like, fuck everything in this house. Put it up for sale. Where, like, there's no way I could...
Yeah. No. To see that and never get that picture out of your head, and then every day you come home from work, there's that picture.
There. Every day.
All right. You want some funny laws?
Yes, I do.
We're getting close to the end of our list. Utah.
Okay. Ooh, Utah.
Birds have the right of way on all highways. If you hit a bird, I guess
you done fucked
you're
up.
Fucked. Yeah. I think we had this maybe in another state. It's illegal to fish from horseback. I don't see why that would be a problem.
I don't see why you'd want to try and do that either.
In Utah, the husband is responsible for every criminal act committed by his wife while she is in his presence.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's an oldie, but a goodie. Yeah.
Let me send his ass to jail real quick.
It's illegal not to drink milk.
Yuck. I hate milk.
Do you? I love milk.
I hate milk. Me and Bryce both hate milk.
Throwing snowballs will result in a $50 fine. Yeah.
All together? Can't throw a one?
I mean, I think if you're going to throw one, then you might as well throw like 50 of them, like in Elf when he's just plowing.
Yeah. Yep.
$50. And finally, in Salt Lake City, Utah, no one may walk down the street carrying a paper bag containing a violin.
What?
Yep. All right. Do you want some more?
Yes.
You want Virginia?
Yes.
Children are not allowed to go trick-or-treating on Halloween.
Why?
That's mean.
That's terrible.
That's poor children.
Here you go. Dress up, but you're not getting shit.
God.
That's sad.
No one may wash a mule on the sidewalk.
Okay. In the street, you can.
Yeah. I mean.
Neighbor's yard. Wherever you want. Feel like.
Not on the sidewalk. It's illegal to imitate a police whistle in Virginia.
Like with your mouth?
Any type of way, I guess. It's illegal to flip a coin in a restaurant to see who pays for a coffee.
Why? That's no fun. They're fun suckers. No Halloween and no coin flips.
Swearing at someone over the phone in Virginia is punishable by a $100 fine.
Oh, damn.
I'd probably be fucked on that
one. I'd be so fucked.
Yeah. All right. This is, I believe, the last one. Let me see.
It'd be like, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching.
Imagine being on the phone, cussing someone out, and throwing snowballs at the same time.
Be broke.
Oh, no. Utah was the snowball one. Okay. There was once a law in Salem, Virginia that made it illegal to leave home without knowing where you were going.
What?
No Sunday drives for you.
Damn.
You better have a fucking...
No riding around.
Nope. You better have a fucking destination.
Map and plan.
A cop pulls you over.
You know, you're going...
Whip out your AAA paperwork, yeah, showing your travel. Yeah, where you're playing it. Yeah.
Like, the cops are pulling... Hurry up. Draw something right there. Just tell them where we're going. Fucking panicking.
I'm going to the restaurant to get coffee, but I won't flip for it. Whenever I pay for it, I won't flip a coin for it.
Riding my mule on the sidewalk, mm-hmm, that I bathe there.
Exactly. Well, there you have it.
There it is.
And thank you for doing this
of
with
course.
Me.
That was a good story.
Yeah, that was a crazy one,
I
huh?
truly thought the finger was going to come back up.
It did not.
It's just a weird
and it thing. It was crazy, like... As I was doing the story, I was like, oh, it's got to be Victor.
Yeah.
Or the boyfriend who had no reaction to her being murdered.
I wonder why.
He may just be a
monotone type of kid.
Yeah.
Could be.
Might just be.
You know, like, your girlfriend just got killed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, nothing.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything for the listeners?
That's all I got.
All right. Y'all go to Facebook,
mm-hmm,
Family, Friends, and Fans, the Effers.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok. You can watch us on YouTube. I think we're on Instagram. I'm not sure.
Are we?
I think so.
That's cool.
We have a website.
Yes.
You can buy merch.
Get the merch.
www.gritswithasideofmurder.com.
Nice.
And if you want to help support the show, which, by the way, we have a new Patreon member this week. Poindexter.
What?
Standing on the wall like he was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon. You know that song?
No.
Okay. Bust a Move. You don't know Bust
a Move? I mean, I know that. Yeah. That's about all I know.
Okay. Welcome, Poindexter.
Nice.
Thank you so much for your support. And if you want to be like Poindexter...
Go to
Patreon.com/grits, PATREON/grits, and help support the show. And we love y'all. Appreciate y'all. And tell your mom and them to listen. And we're going to let Zydeco Mike take us out.
Bye.